You're tuned into Let's Talk Up Close and Personal with Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson and friends. Without further delay, let's get right to it.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk Up Close and Personal. And today I have the privilege and the honor, and you have the privilege and the honor, to be with my friend and my brother, my colleague, Apostle Dr. Renette Slater Jr., all the way from South Florida. We've had several conversations, but we're coming to an end and a beginning. We've crossed from 2020 into 2021, and life is not the same as it has been, nor will it ever be again. But it didn't stop the fact that we have to still live. And so many people have not grasped the fact that although these things are taking place, that you still have to keep going. You still have to move forward. You're going to still have pains and sufferings and happy times and success and failures and the whole gamut. Life is going to come in. Life is going to leave. Families are going to remain together. Families are not going to remain together. People are going to be saved. Some people are going to walk away from the faith. And although all of these things are happening, do you stop or do you go? Do you pause? Do you rethink? Do you hit restart, reset? How do you do it? But I want to just talk. And as he says so often, I just want to chop it up with him. I was like, I like that. We just going to chop up, chop, 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 chop. And we might literally chop some people and some people's thinkings and some people's theology and mindset and traditions or what have you. But it's okay. Sometimes chopping is a good thing. It causes you to live and stop existing. I heard him go live and he was sharing from his heart, but he was also sharing from the principles and the word of God. But he was talking about leaders. He was talking about those outside of the church. He was talking about so many different angles and the perception of man looking into the church. Why would you want to be a part of this church? Looking at those that are in the church, looking outside of the church. One area. But then I heard it because I came in on the end of it. But the part that really got me was, how can we want people to be a part of our churches, part of our organizations, part of our ministries, part of our businesses or what have you. And we live in jacked up lives. We're saying one thing, but we're living something altogether different. We're saying one thing. We have bylaws and we got principles. We got policies and procedures put in place, but we don't even operate on the premise of what we've actually put in place. How do we do that? So, Dr. Slater.
Dr. Thompson, hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? You want to give like a synopsis or a summary of that live so people really get an understanding of what we're going to be talking about?
Where do we begin? Well, first and foremost, it is indeed an honor and a privilege to be on this platform with you. I feel like I'm almost to the point of reaching status quo because it's not often that I get to be on a celebrity profile such as yours. So we bless God for you. But in all seriousness, blessings to all of the viewers and those that will be hearing. The live that you're talking about, I was sharing, I was riding in my car and the Lord was talking to me. And I began to highlight 2020 has been a testing year. It's been a trying year. It's and in the midst of that, I instantly went to where as a senior leader or as an apostolic leader, that is, I have the privilege of hearing all kinds of cases. You know, I represent, or I always make parallel to the Attorney General. So I'm hearing cases about problems after problems, issues after issues. We've heard enough about Genesis to Revelation. We've heard enough about prayer revivals, about conferences, about retreats, about workshops. We've heard enough about church hurt and all of the other. And the Lord asked me, what is the solution? And in the midst of dealing with that, I began to assess the church. The church that we know of today would be, how would I say it? Well, I guess I would be the prosecutor that would be filing charges against the church. Number one, the church that we see today is not the church that the Bible described. Mm-hmm. We've taught people how to pray, but we didn't teach people how to live. We taught people how to strive for success, but nobody ever prepared us for the failure. And so we're praying and dancing, and then when we go through stuff, instead of dealing with the pain and the hurt, we're taught just pray and God will make it better and this, that, and the other. And then I share something with you, as I share with them, is that the church used to be a house of refuge, a house of safety, a house of consolation, a house of peace. But now it is in the same category as a crack house. You know what the crack house is for? It's the place where the crack addict goes to feel his fiend, to get his fits. And so we taught folk how to come to church and get a quick fix. So what we do is we put the needle of prayer, the needle of praise, and the needle of worship in our veins, and then it'll sustain us until it drains out. And so we leave church Sunday feeling real high. After we done danced, we done shouted, we done spoken a bunch of broken down letters and made them tongues, or what have we. And then now the church ain't open. And so what do I do when Sunday night, that high that I had is now gone? That high should have taught me how to love you, or how to treat folk, or how to bless folk. And so one of the questions I asked or told the folk is that I believe the solution is we have to become the gospel that we preach. In other words, instead of highlighting my problem, show me how to love folk that make it difficult to love them back. Yes. Show me how to bless my violator, my abuser. You want to tell me that God don't put no more on me than I can bear, but I'm a little boy, got a penis sucked down my throat or in my anal, and then you want me to tell me to pray God wouldn't have put it on me if there wasn't a purpose for my life, and now I'm here operating off my gift and my anointing, but I'm dying inwardly on my way to hell. Or the young lady who has been pimped out, not by a stranger on the street, but by her daddy or granddaddy or uncle or brothers. And then God forbid that because the family done pushed that up under the rug and the church done did a whole lot of prayers and rebuked a whole lot of demons. And now we don't understand how she keep going from one broke down nigga to the next. Oh my, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Keep going.
All in the church. And so we'll tell a woman who's been slapped and beaten and bruised emotionally, physically, day in and day out. And then she come to church and we'll tell her, well, baby, you know, a wife sanctifies her husband. Just keep on praying. Just keep on believing. God will work it out. And then now she's on First 48 because people are surprised now that she's dead. And her boyfriend, the one who's been kicking her behind for the last 3 years in the church, we've been praying over this stuff. We've been rebuking demons out of this stuff.
Come on.
And now folk done got happy off of a hope of glory. But nobody prepared them that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Nobody prepared them that you were better off physically, naturally, before you got saved, because you had money. But then the moment you got saved, something got in on the inside. And now you don't know the last time you saw your dollar. But yet you're hoping to believe in faith that you got to keep paying your tithe and your offering while you got pink slip after pink slip, 3-day notices, some even eviction notice, your car note, you got to hide your car in your neighbor's garage simply because the church told you to bring your tithe and your offering and God to take care of all your needs. But then you didn't realize that sometimes your greatest gain is in your loss. If I knew that going in, it'd be easier. But if you tell me that I come to church and say Jesus 3 times and he'll give me a brand new house, a brand new car, a brand new man and a brand new woman and everything will be all right. And now after 7 days of fasting, right after I got off of a fast, my whole family know I'm on a fast. And I leave the church and I get home. And before I can put the key in the door, my husband will knock the hell out of me. But I'm supposed to believe God loves me.
Come on now.
And so we want to talk scripture, but don't nobody want to deal with real issue. Jesus never quoted scripture to people. He quoted them life story. When he met the woman, he didn't go to the woman quoting the word. He went to the woman talking about her issue. And now here's one I want to throw in, and I know you didn't ask me this. I'm just giving a parallel where the live came from. But here's a free one on the house is we've been preaching a woman had 5 husbands. And the one she with ain't hers. And everybody got happy and want to judge this woman. We done called her all kind of hoes. We done called her all kind of names. But Dr. Thompson, we missed the revelation in the church. Here's the revelation. The revelation is we want to condemn her for having the 6 husbands who ain't hers. But nobody gave her credit for she tried it 5 times and it didn't work.
Thank you.
She done prayed. She done fasted. She done been that wife. She did everything right. She did everything right. We ain't talking about the women that have 6 niggas and they ain't never had a ring on them. But this woman had 5 husbands, which means she did it right.
Mm-hmm.
But the one time she made a decision that I ain't gonna waste my time getting married, I'm just gonna play the field, the whole church wanna crucify her. What happens when you tell me that I need to keep trusting this word thing if we doing the word thing ain't making it right? And we don't even want to get into the preachers who are married but ain't happy. We don't want to get into the preacher's kids who sit up under the oil but are miserable and broke down and hating the church because their daddy got more time with the church than they do their own sons and daughters.
Yes.
We don't have these kind of conversations. And so now we're at a point now that I said this, that isn't it amazing that in the midst of 2020, this testing year, this trying year, this is the year that if this year haven't took us and ushered us to a place of real repentance, 2021 people will not be able to last. 2021 people will not be able to stand. People don't need another scripture. They want to know what to do with their life. And I believe, just me, Slater, believe that there was a reason why God closed the church down. He closed the church down because he knew he was raising up a people that needed holistic healing.
Yes.
And he needed to shut down all of the contamination and build it all up again.
Come on.
That's why churches that were here before won't be here in 2021.
Pastors
that were relevant before won't be relevant in 2021. And because why? Because God is raising up. He's heard the cry of his people. And he said, now I need you to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. He's tearing down the whole infrastructure and starting all over. That is a summary of, I know I'm long-winded, but that's the summary of where that live went. Yeah.
And there you have it. Now, needless to say, we're going to have part one and part two, because part two, we're going to dive into the conclusion of the matter. But today, you know, as like Dr. Slater was saying, how are we going to, or should I say, we've always told the people everything they're doing wrong. They're doing wrong here, they're doing wrong there, but never given a blueprint, never given solutions, never given guidance as to how to correct your wrong. So you tell them they're wrong, they go out, and you tell them to go get it right, and all they do is keep messing up. And you wonder why, because what I had this conversation, and this is what really got me, had a conversation even early this morning about a young lady being pregnant in the church. Then you have a married woman in the church with a child, but not by her husband. So, which one is more acceptable and more forgiving? The unwed one that got pregnant, or the woman that got pregnant by someone outside besides her husband? See, so in so many cases, people can cover it up and you'll never know because she's married. So it's acceptable. But the one that wasn't married is on Front Street. So you make the one that's not married feel like the scum of the earth, which then could very well make her feel that her child is a curse as well. Whereas we're going to find a way to cover the married wife. We're going to find a way to make that work for the married wife and her husband. You got double standards. I also agree that God used this as a means of shutting the house down, the physical house down, so that he can begin to rebuild the spiritual house, our temples that are supposed to be the temple of God, especially for those that have never tasted of him, have never tried him, because the temples that are supposed to be exhibiting who he is have fallen short of what he set aside for us to do. You made so many things relevant. You brought several things to the forefront. You brought several questions to the forefront that, as crazy as this may sound, someone outside of the church could address everything that you said, whereas someone inside of the part of fivefold leaders would try and make excuses for everything that you said. So many would try and justify what has been done and how it's been done, instead of repenting, getting it right, and starting over again. We had a conversation last night that hit me to the very core of my being from a personal perspective. We'll go into that for next, okay? But had two conversations today with women in the church that are screaming in silence. But because they have this image to present, they put on their makeup, they put on their clothes, they do their hair, they put that smile on and say, "Showtime." But you don't know the kind of hell that they're experiencing behind closed doors. because they may both be in the fivefold. One may be and one may not be. But because she's the first lady, she has this image to uphold. But what you're doing is teaching the other ladies that are going to come in behind you to live a lie. How to be able to be strong, which we do. We want to be strong. We want to be strong. But we want to be strong and be honest with ourselves. How do I know? How to put a mask on? And what could I possibly know about putting a mask on and doing showtime, but being genuine in what's being delivered, being genuine about the love that you have for God and God's people, but also screaming in silence. And so much so to the point that you could be screaming in silence so much that you're bleeding all over everybody. But it's okay, because we're the leaders. It's okay. But we'll condemn somebody else if they're doing it, sitting in the pew. We'll condemn somebody else out on the street if they're doing it, but we'll justify what we do. That's just one part. But then, like you said, I was sharing with someone how back in the day, and I think I even shared with you, back in the day, like, and even you said it, they taught us that some things should not be shared. This regular cliche, what happens in the house stays in the house is nobody's business. The church is supposed, I think about, what is it? Hunchback of Notre Dame. The church is supposed to be sanctuary. When you come into the church, you're supposed to be safe in the church. But instead of being safe, you swap the devil for the witch at times. Now, not all of them. You know, we can't say all, it's not all, because of that, because if all of them were like that, then we would be in that number. But what we're saying, in case you don't understand, we're not bashing the sanctity and the principle and the standard for the church. No. It's just making people be aware that we have to be accountable for everything we do in the church, outside of the church. And the crazy thing, the things that Apostle Stater was talking about, you could apply that to corporate America. You could apply that to your business, your mom and pop business. You could apply that to any industry. You could apply that to your own household. It can be applied to life in general, as far as the image that we present. You look like you want to say something.
I might look at it, but I don't know. I'm listening. But there is several things that you were saying something about the young lady and the image. And it's public, so I can say it here. Kalante Gavin said something that blessed me. He's a 21-year-old gospel artist that went viral some years ago. But he says something, and it goes, two things I want to point out. There is the prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T. And then there are the people who are prophets for hire. P-R-O-F-I-T. In other words, what we have operating today in the modern day church is P-R-O-F-I-T. And he said one of the most travesting things that takes place in the body of Christ is that you have the P-R-O-F-I-T laying hands on you. And they can tell you that the hand of God is on your life, but can't see that somebody else's hands is in your pants.
Wow.
Yeah, say it again for your audience.
Wow.
You're telling me that the hand of God is on my life. And I'm getting happy off the fact that the hand of God is on my life, but you ain't said nothing about the hand that's in my pants.
That's it.
And so now I'm led to believe that my gift, watch this, I'm led to believe that what I've been doing cannot be all bad because you keep telling me that I'm anointed and I'm gifted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching everybody else get saved and happy off of this anointing and this gift, but then I'm going home being abused and violated.
Thank you.
I'm dying inwardly.
Yes.
That's one. And then secondly, while you were talking about the church and the infrastructure, you know, your daddy, he always bothered me. Like, I don't know why he does this. Because I don't like, well, I ain't gonna say I don't like, but you know, it forces me to not have to go back and I have to put a paper together and do a writing and a teaching because I've never done it before. But here, and then, you know, he give me stuff and then I got to be forced to say it without no valid claim to back it up. So I'm just going to throw it out there and we'll go from there. The issue today is, he said, we've commercialized church so much to people only know church as a building. When the building was never supposed to be the church.
Absolutely.
When Peter said, thou art the Christ, he said, upon that statement, I will build my church. He was talking about building Peter and those that were following him.
Yes.
That's why he never spent any time on focusing on building a building. He spent time on building people.
Yes.
And so if we learn that I don't go to church, I am the church. And if my church, this house, this vessel that I live in, if it becomes the church, then the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Watch this. It didn't say it wouldn't come against it. It said it wouldn't prevail against it.
Yes.
And so what we've done, we made a mistake, is we've taught people how to come to the building, the entity, the infrastructure and the whole nine yards. And now people ain't got an issue with, now one thing I say at KRMI, if you come to this church and you say it's boring, 9 out of 10 you boring. If you say this church is dead, then you think you come meet me at the altar because you did.
Mm.
Because the Bible said as a man thinketh,
yes,
in his heart,
so is he.
So is he. So if I sit with Dr. Thompson and I say, Dr. Thompson, you surely is boring, although you'll probably give me some words or whatever, but the reality is I'm saying to myself without taking accountability that I must be boring. Because even if you were boring and if I was as excited as I am, there's no way I can be in your presence and not bring excitement. I bring what it is that I want to become. And that comes back to this. What is the solution? Becoming whatever is needed to fix the problem you're facing.
Absolutely. You become the solution.
If you can't become the solution, then guess what?
You're the problem.
Part of the problem.
That's it.
And so this church thing, I don't like church. This new modern day, I don't like it. I wish I had the ability to just go through and tear down every building that professes to be a church. I really do. I really do. Because if you tear down the building, Dr. Thompson, 2020 has been a testing year. We found out who was anointed for real.
That part.
We found out who got faith for real.
For real. Well,
we find who saved for real. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but I was going to say, and on that note, we're going to end that one right there. Because our time is up. But we're going to come back on next week and we're going to finish up this. So thank you for joining us today. We know that you are listening attentively, and we know that you will be back with us on next week for part two. So thank you. And remember, let's talk up close and personal.
Thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk Up Close and Personal with Dr. Nathalie Chase Thompson and friends. Be sure to tune in next week right here on Praise 107.9 for more raw, uncut, and to the point conversation. To contact Dr. Thompson, please visit LTUCNP.com or call 904-418-8611.